Joby Warwick is the author of Black Flags, The Rise of ISIS. Won a Pulitzer Prize for that. Writes about these sorts of things for the Washington Post, the national security correspondent there. Joby, it's John Williams. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
How are you?
Real good. You watched the president's speech today. Let's start there. What did he say? What did you make of it?
Well, it was clearly to me, it was an attempt to stand down or to de-escalate. And I think that's what a lot of us were looking for. There are all kinds of bad ways this could have evolved over the coming days and weeks. And I think we have a moment we can step back and say, let's figure out a way to do this without really seeing terrible damage inflicted in the region. And that was the real concern, because it wasn't just U.S. bases, potential for oil facilities, for neighboring countries, for Israel, for other places to potentially get damaged in this as well. So there is a moment to pause and maybe rethink a little bit.
You have written about and traveled about extensively in that part of the world. You, better than most people, know the dynamics at play here. What did you make of the speech itself? Was it well written? Did it hit all of the right points and say the right things?
There'll be some folks that'll take issue on various things. I think there's lots of back and forth about whether or not getting out of the nuclear deal and the 2015 nuclear deal was a wise decision, and whether that's helped us. Because in the last few days, as we've seen, Iran is now talking about reneging on its commitments, and we'll have to see where that goes. If there's a new race to build a bomb, so that's an open question. But otherwise, I was impressed or struck by the fact that there wasn't a lot of bluster, and I think that's important if you're trying to set a tone for negotiations and not trying to escalate further. And I think we've seen that on the part of the Iranians as well. They've been, I think, fairly restrained in their comments, at least.
He had to take a shot at Barack Obama. I don't know that that was significant. I'm sure that was his editorial input, and then that was woven into the speech. I'm sure you noticed that as well.
Yes, and I think that's almost standard for this president. There just seems to be a need or an impulse to be sort of better than Obama, or kind of beat that standard, and that's just a consistent theme.
I shouldn't laugh, but I mean, you almost shake your head. It's the most important speech of his life so far. He was notably nervous about it. And as he was delivering it, when he went into the business about the billions of dollars that Barack Obama gave back, specifically paid for the missiles that were fired at Americans, my jaw dropped a little bit. I was surprised that even though he wanted that to be in there, that they allowed that to be in there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us shake our heads at that, because it's a very complicated situation, as you know. This is the money that was given back to Iran was money that Iran was owed for purchases that were made under the Shah years ago, and there was a court process in which the U.S. government was anticipating at some point looking at a judgment for repaying that money. So it's not as if we reached into our treasury and gave them money as a payoff. It was their money. So we're essentially trying to settle an international dispute with the Iranians. And it declined that specific money was then used to build missiles. I mean, that's clearly not true, because, my own reporting, and I've looked deeply, I spent a lot of time in the last few days reporting about the missile program that Iran has, and they invested heavily in this program going back for more than a decade, with the emphasis being on trying to create some really powerful precision-guided missiles so they can pinpoint, do pinpoint strikes. And that's what they apparently have tried to do here, and apparently not intending to inflict casualties, which is kind of interesting.
Talk about that. You're saying that the missile shots in Iraq were clearly intended not to inflict casualties. They intentionally missed, if you will.
I think so. And the reason I say that is because one of the things that we know about Iran's new weapons program now is that they have indeed invested a lot of money in precision. There was a big strike on a oil facility in Saudi Arabia back in September. Something like 19 cruise missiles and drones attacked one facility in particular, and all but two hit their targets. So they're able to send missiles and drones over long distances and hit their targets with accuracy. And so for them to not cause any casualties, it seems to me to suggest a deliberate attempt to try to not escalate. They wanted to be able to save face by doing something, but I do think they were carefully targeted strikes to avoid casualties and to try to avoid escalation.
Hooray for the world. Joby, are you surprised by their restraint? We tend to characterize those people as fanatical. Is this consistent with their behavior? Would you have predicted that they would have acted this way?
I was surprised that they did a direct strike, and when we heard that the missiles were launched last night, it was, oh boy, we're off to the races. And then when we see the results, I do think it shows calculation on their part. And even though we do see them as fanatical, and certainly they've engaged in fanatical behavior, they're not suicidal. They do not usually provoke in a way that's going to invite retaliation, and that's why we've mostly seen a shadow war with Iran over the last couple of decades. They don't attack directly. They use their proxies. They use covert means. And I think this, you know, what we've seen in the last 24 hours was an attempt by them to do something that kind of threaded the needle to look tough to their own people without escalating further. And they did that with the use of perhaps precision-guided missiles.
When I think about the Middle East or North Korea, I always think about that. Well, they'd be crazy to play hardball with us because we'll win. And they know that. But then again, you think, yeah, but maybe they are crazy. Maybe they'll martyr themselves and their whole damn country if they want. And yeah. And that's the really scary calculus, isn't it?
It is, because like us, they're divided, and there are crazies on that side, and some of them are in very powerful positions, and I think you might even be able to in some ways, count the IRGC and the Quds Force, the ones that Qasem Soleimani led. Within that group are certainly people that would love to have a big conflict with us, even though they know they would ultimately lose. They just feel that it's coming. They need to do it for their own ideological purposes. But there are other people in Iran that don't feel that way.
25 seconds left. Do you think this is the end of it, at least for the near term, that it has settled and neither side is going to do anything unexpected now?
I think the one wild card, just very quickly, will be what happens with some of the proxies. So some of the groups that Iran supports may decide to freelance on their own or just decide that the strike wasn't enough and do something that could throw this into an unpredictable direction. So that's the danger we still face.
Don't rate it just because it's a sort of primer for this part of the world, but because it's just page-turning fascinating. Your book, Joby Warwick, National Security Correspondent at the Washington Post on the Iran missile launch. The book is titled Black Flags. He won the Pulitzer Prize. We appreciate your time today, Joby.
Absolutely. Thank you.